You know, the theme verse of the book of Philippians is Philippians 1:21, where the Apostle Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." The main thrust of the life of this man of God was living for Jesus Christ. He said in Galatians 6:14, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." In Romans 8, again, he talks about the fact of just great consuming love for Christ. And I would pray tonight as I bring this message that it will somehow get a hold of your heart as well. As you look upon this man's life, though, when you pursue the things of God, as Paul did, he first of all voiced his dissatisfaction with his present states. Look at verse 12, please. "Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if they may apprehend that, for it's also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus." Now, the word apprehended means to be captured. Now, look here. Before Paul got saved, his name was Saul. He was a religious zealot, persecuting and putting the people of God to death. He was on the road to Damascus when all of a sudden the word of God says, a light shone from heaven. Saul fell on the ground, heard a voice from heaven that said in Acts 9:4, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" In Acts 9:5, Saul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the voice came back from heaven in Acts 9:5, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." And here Paul was confronted with the Lord Jesus Christ and recognized Christ as the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And Saul was saved. His name was changed to Paul. And this man of God began to preach one message. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose the third day according to the Scriptures." Romans 10:4, he said, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." And so Paul was captured by Jesus Christ. But in verse 12, he used a very striking phrase. He's about to follow after, which really means for one to overextend himself for the things of God. In the Old Testament, there's a man of God named Elijah. And Elijah was ready to pass off the scene. And there's a young prophet named Elisha. And one day, this great prophet, Elijah, asked Elisha, "What do you want?" And the young prophet looked at Elijah, the greatest prophet of the Old Testament, and said, "I want a double portion of your spirits." Can you believe that? This young man wanted a double portion of the spirit of the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. And guess what God did? God gave him a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. Another man of God named Caleb, 87 years of age, who was not satisfied to sit in the rocking chair, he cried out to God and said these words, "I want that mountain." Now, can you believe that? This man asking God in his old age for God to give him that mountain. And guess what God did? You know something, congregation, just in this room, if you would overextend yourself in the things of God, you have no idea what God can do. How do I know that? Listen to the Bible. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And I'm telling you, this man of God, he voiced his dissatisfaction of his present state. He craved more. In my life, my desire is I never want to come to a place where I know it all. And I think I'm an authority on everything. Oh no. I want to stay in a place where I want to continue growing for my Lord. As the Apostle Paul, this man of God was a great example of that. It's also to you. But second of all, in verse 13, he declared his determination of forgetting the past. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth on those things which are before. Now look here. If you want to know and look at this man's life, no one has been persecuted like this man of God in the Bible. He said in 2 Corinthians 12:10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. When I'm weak, then am I strong. Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time. And what did he suffer? Well, Paul was stoned. He was beaten with rods. He was beaten with a Roman scourge and had his back lacerated. His life was threatened for people to kill him time and time again. He faced shipwreck. And yet this man of God said, forgetting those things which are behind. You know something? The problem with many of us is we live in the past. We can't do that, congregation. He said in verse 13, reaching forth unto that which is before. You know, we as God's people need to do that. We've got to live what is in front of us. What's in the future? For example, with parents with little children, let me say this to you. Did you know that 50% of what a child learns, he learns by the time he's 5 or 6 years of age? Did you know that? That's why you've got to pour your life in the things of God and that child while he is young. You know, in the Old Testament, the Jews would do this. They would take figs and rub figs on the gums of their small babies to give those little babies a taste for figs. That's a very important thing with the Jews. And they would put and rub the figs on their gums, said, have a taste for figs. And then what they would do, when these children were small, the Jewish family, they would teach them the Word of God. They'd put the Bible verses upon the wall. And they'd speak of the things of God in the morning and the evening. And they drilled the Word of God, the Old Testament, in the lives of their children. And that's what we've got to do. For those with teenagers and college students, we have to pass one day the spiritual baton to that young man and that young lady. You know why? They'll be the one that God will use. And we have to be able to pass it on to them. And then for those who are older, grandparents, you've got to pour your life into those grandchildren and those others that you love so dearly. On the vast knowledge God's given you, the things of God, you can pour in the life of those young children. And the Apostle Paul was a man. He declared his determination of forgetting the past and reaching forth, living for the future. But third of all, I want you to see that this man of God reveals his discipline of focus for the Lord. Look at verse 14. I press to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know something? It's amazing how this man of God reveals something to us. He revealed his secret of success. And that's forgetting the past and reaching forth, living for that which is before us. You know, several years ago, I watched a program on television about the cheetah. By the way, the cheetah is one of the fastest running animals on the face of the earth. And a cheetah can reach speeds of over 80 miles an hour. And I saw the documentary, and that was intriguing to me. It showed a cheetah looking on a field of 70 or 80 gazelles. And that cheetah began his pursuit. He had his eyes locked in on one out of that herd, and I saw it. That cheetah, running 80 miles an hour, ran by other gazelles. He could have easily taken them, but he was locked in on one until he captured it. And that's the kind of discipline, of focus, this man of God had. And that's exactly what God wants us to have, a discipline, a focus. And the night, we find a man of God named Abraham who had that same kind of discipline of focus. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know what, congregation? We're wise if we have a discipline, a focus on the future of living our lives in light of eternity. Paul did, and that's why he could say in 2 Timothy 4, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. You know what, congregation? The discipline of focus. I've had so many people come to me and say, Jerry, and I got to be careful saying this, okay? We would like for you to consider becoming this position. And I said, no, thank you. I've had colleges say to me, we would like to consider you as being president. And I said, no, thank you. You mean you turned that down? Yes, I turned it down. And I'm careful how I tell this to you. I know my calling. I know God's called me to be an evangelist. I've got many wonderful friends who are presidents. I've got others, wonderful churches that I've been in that would like to have me as a pastor. And I said, no. Why? I know my discipline of focus. I want to give my life to congregations across America to edify the body of believers, to strengthen us in the things of God, and to reach the unsaved for the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, when you look upon this man's life, in his pursuit, I'd pray to God it would somehow get a hold of your own heart as you live your life for Him. Let's bow our heads and pray, please.